All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 3. We are in Hebrews chapter 3, starting at verse 1. The Bible says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." We notice there, wherefore. And if you notice that in verse 1 of chapter 2, he starts out with therefore. And in verse 1 of chapter 3, we find the word wherefore. Wherefore just simply means for in which case or in which case. What case is he talking about? Obviously, everything that has been discussed in chapter 1 and chapter 2. Let's go briefly over chapter 1 and chapter 2 just to recap so we know exactly what we're dealing with here. We know in chapter 1 that God spoke in time past to the prophets, but has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we learned in that chapter that Jesus has authority over all. We learned that Jesus purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. He was better than angels. Chapter 2, we found out that we ought to give heed to the things that we've heard, especially verse 3, how we should not neglect so great a salvation. We learned that he had set him again, that he is better than angels, and that he set him and gave subjection under his feet. Now we come to chapter 3, and again it says, wherefore, and again, in which case, that simply is in all of these that he had spoken about in chapter 1 and chapter 2. He says, holy brethren. You are, if you are saved in the Lord Jesus Christ, a holy brethren. We're not talking about those false people, those false Christians that are in the Roman Catholic Church who call themselves holy brethren. We are not talking about those that walk around in long vestments and robes and wear the fish hat. They are not holy brethren. They are a cult. Roman Catholicism is a cult, and it is a very dangerous cult, and it has very long tentacles that is far and broad reaching. But you, from the simple to the greatest of people, if you have put your trust and belief in Jesus Christ, and he has forgiven you of your sins, then you are a holy brethren with me and with everyone else who is a holy brethren, because we are brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has made us so. Remember that in chapter 2, it says that he's not ashamed to call us brethren. Now, he says, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Absolutely, that is another aspect of it. The Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen. Many, many are called, but few are chosen. And when you do respond to that heavenly calling, it is a wonderful, beautiful thing. And you are one, if you are a Christian, if you have been saved in the Lord Jesus, you have responded positively to the heavenly calling. He says, consider. Now, the word consider there is a target word. It's not a broad word that makes you just think about something, but consider, it's a target word that has you zero in on a specific person or subject. And that specific person we know in verse 1 is Jesus Christ. Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. You know that in Luke chapter 4, verse 45, let's go there real quick. Luke chapter 4, verse 45, we are told that Jesus is an apostle. He says this, in starting in verse 42, "And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him, that he should not depart from them. And he, Jesus, said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also. For," now watch this, "therefore I am sent." Therefore am I sent. So you see, Jesus himself was sent by God. That is what an apostle is, one that is sent out. So he is the apostle. Notice the uppercase. He's not just an apostle. He is the apostle. And he says, high priest of our profession. In Hebrews chapter 7, verses 24 through 26. You don't have to turn there, but I'll go there real quick. Hebrews chapter 4, chapter 7, verses 24 through 26. "But this man, because he continueth forever," or "because this man, because he continueth ever," speaking of Jesus, "hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Verse 26, "For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens." And it goes on to say that he doesn't need daily sacrifices for his sins and for the sins of the people, because Jesus is sinless, and he was sinless. So we are told in chapter 3, verse 1, to consider, after that we are identified as holy brethren and we have responded and partaken of the high, of the heavenly calling, to consider, zero in on, look closely at Christ Jesus as an apostle, high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Verse 2 says, "Who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house." Jesus was faithful to God who appointed him to come and do this work to save us. He was faithful. When you are faithful, that is saying a lot. It's everything. You must be faithful in the things of God. You must be faithful in a lot of areas of your life, especially with God and with the Word of God. You must be faithful. Will you be judged on your faithfulness? Will that count? Yes, absolutely, it will count. Staying the course, staying being a Christian, remaining faithful in the faith and not backsliding, not going off into sin, but remaining faithful. Being faithful says a lot about someone. It gives them integrity, and it shows that they are serious about what it is that they believe and that they don't waver on that. He says that Moses was faithful in all his house, and he was. "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses." Still talking about Jesus. This is the beautiful thing about Hebrews, is that it continually glorifies Jesus. If you were someone who did not know Jesus and you were handed this epistle and you read it, you would think, boy, this guy, all he talks about is Jesus. And that is what is right and what we should be doing, because Jesus is everything. He is the all. He is the yes and the amen. He is everything. He says, "For this man, Jesus, was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, insomuch as he who hath built the house hath more honor than the house." Jesus built the house. Jesus built the earth and the world. We know that from scriptures. He built the church. Remember in Matthew 16, 18, he said that the gates of hell, he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He builds the church. We are a spiritual house, Peter says, built up unto him. He built the church. He builds the house, which is a metaphor for people. He builds the house. We are his house. He builds us. He made us. He created us. And he is worthy of more glory than Moses, because he's the one that built everything. Moses just inhabited it. Verse 4, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And there's many references in the scriptures that Jesus created the earth. Jesus created us. Jesus built the house. Jesus built this. Jesus built everything. The universe and all things were made by him. And it says here, but he that built all things is God. Another reference, Jesus is God. Verse 5, he says, Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end? Now, the writer of Hebrews is going to get into a section here where he's giving us a warning. He's giving us information and wanting us to understand the seriousness of salvation, as he had said that how shall we neglect so great a salvation, it talked about in verse 3 of chapter 2. But he's giving us these warnings of that this is a serious matter of salvation. And we should hold fast, he says there in verse 6, being faithful, hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. That is, until the day you die or until the day the Lord Jesus returns, hold fast your Christian confidence, hold fast your salvation unto the end. He says, wherefore, in verse 7, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear his voice. Now, verses 7 and 8, 9 and 10 and 11 are all taken from Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11. And Psalm 95, verses 7 through 11 was a warning to people about not straying. It was a warning to the people as the psalm was being read of the remembrance of those that were in the wilderness that God destroyed because they were unbelievers. They had no faith. They had no belief in God. He says, if you will hear your voice, today if you'll hear his voice. See, that's the great thing. Every day is a day of salvation for someone. All they have to do is today admit their sins. Today and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and they will be saved. That's all they have to do. And today and every day is a wonderful day that someone can be saved. As long as those doors have not been closed and the world is not over with yet, there is still hope that people can be saved. He says, today if you'll hear his voice. How would people be able to hear God's voice to receive salvation of the Lord Jesus if men don't go and give the gospel? That's very important. We need to go and give the gospel to everyone, especially even doubly, triply more so in these last days because the time is short. He says, harden not your hearts. How easy is it to harden your hearts? And you know what? You can harden your heart and you cannot even know it. It can creep up on you and your heart can be hardened. You could say, what happened to me? I used to have a love for the things of the scriptures. I used to have a love for prayer. I used to have a love for going to church. I used to have a love for witnessing. And all that dried up and you became where you just don't read the Bible anymore. You don't pray anymore. And you think to yourself, what happened? Your heart got hardened. Beware. Be careful. The heart can get hardened through the deceitfulness of sin, through laziness, and through the outside influences that come in upon you and distract you and move you off of the glorious salvation that you are destined to. Harden not your hearts as in the provocation, the day of temptation, in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do alway err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, salvation is secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole New Testament, and even in the New Testament, but the whole New Testament is absolutely filled with proofed texts that Jesus Christ saves to the uttermost, and you can never lose your salvation. This is not talking about that you can lose your salvation. It doesn't say that here. If any of you have an evil heart of unbelief, is your heart already in unbelief? In departing from the living God, in leaving the living God, is that losing your salvation? Well, it says right there, departing from the living God. Departing from the living God and remaining away and never wanting salvation, which probably you were never saved in the first place, is two different things. But exhort one another. You notice in verse 13, first in verse 12, he gives this dire warning. But then in verse 13, he says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened to the deceitfulness of sin. So again, this is a motivation for us to stay on course, to stay in salvation, to stay white hot for the things of God. He says that we are to exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And that is so true. Sin is very deceitful, very deceitful. It is awful, and it can easily take you off track. There was a wise preacher once said that sin will keep you from this book, and this book will keep you from sin, speaking of the Bible. Verse 14, he says, for we are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Remember that he said that. This is the second time now, or the third time that he actually says this. And in verse 6, he said that we were to hold fast the confidence of the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. He says, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they, those that did not believe, those that had no belief, could not enter in because of unbelief. There are those in the church, undoubtedly, many, many, many are in the church that absolutely are not saved and do not know God. They come in, they sit down in the pew right next to you. They act, they talk, they walk, they sound, they smell, just like a born-again Christian, but they're not. Their heart is hardened. Their heart has been hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. They could be agents of Satan. They could be emissaries of the enemy. Whatever it may be, they are not saved. They have no belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't know him. So that's why it says here that they could not enter in unbelief. Many of the children of Israel that came out of Egypt with Moses, did they all believe in God? No. They all did not believe in God. There were some that still clung to the idols of Egypt. Are you still clinging to your idols of the past? Are you still clinging to the sins and the idols that you had before you even became saved? Do you know that you are saved? Do you know that you've been born again? So, this is why he says they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. There were those coming out of Egypt that were traipsing through the desert with Moses and all the rest, and there were those that truly believed and loved God, and there are those that didn't believe God at all, didn't care. They just were along for the ride because they got taken out of Egypt. They could not enter in, and their carcasses were laying dead in the wilderness for 40 years because they didn't believe in God. Anytime a miracle happened, oh yeah, they enjoyed the water. They enjoyed the quail that came down from heaven and the manna, but they didn't believe God. They just figured, oh, here it comes. Wow. So they couldn't enter in because they did not believe. We are those that believe to the saving of the soul, it says. We believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have this belief. What do we learn here in chapter 3? We learn that Jesus, again, is highly exalted. We learn that we are to be faithful as Jesus was faithful and Moses was faithful. We learn that we're not to harden our hearts and we're to listen. And even as it is today, it's open for people who still, there is time for people to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. And that the warning is that we should not be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin and hold fast our confidence. Hold fast your confidence. Stay strong in Him. Read your Bible every day. Pray constantly. Witness. Declare the Lord Jesus to those people who are dying. They need it. This world needs it. Hold fast. Be strong. And stand firm unto the very end.